It's so 12 options proved now, isn't it? Sat, sataha, asataha, sadasataha. Three words are there, isn't it? Sataha, asataha, sadasataha. Isn't it? Existent thing does not originate. A non-existent thing does cannot originate. Existent, non-existent mixture also do not, it does not originate. Therefore, there's no way, there's no option which provides you, you know, the help to understand the cause. Okay, we'll go to the next one now. Yeah. Svato va parato vapi.
Svato va parato vapi.
Na kinchid vastu jayate. Sadasad sadasadvapi.
Sadasad sadasadvapi.
Na kinchid vastu jayate.
Na kinchid vastu jayate.
So the word vastu actually means the reality. But in this context, the word vastu means any object. Vastu, porul. Any oru porul, any given object. Kad vastu. No, you not only this, the big picture of the Jagat universe, even you take any small object like pot, you cannot prove the cause of the pot. Where has it originated from? What is the, you know, mula karanam, the cause of this pot? You cannot talk about it. So he gave six options. The object cannot originate from itself, nor does it originate from something else other than itself. Then ubhayataha you have to add there. Swataha, parataha, ubhayataha. It does not originate from something, the mixture of both itself and something else. So, sat na jayate, asat na jayate, sadasat na jayate, na kinchid vastu jayate, no object originates. Existent, already existent, is not born, does not originate. Non-existent cannot originate. The mixture of existent and non-existent also cannot originate. Therefore, six options. So, all these six options, isn't it? Totally now got 12 options. You see the defect. Next, you know, that understand the karma, the cause cannot be established. Then, we'll go to next one. Three more. Heturna jayate na dehe.
Heturna jayate na dehe.
Phalam chapi swabhavatah.
Phalam chapi swabhavatah.
Adirna vidyate yasya.
Adirna vidyate yasya.
Tasya hyadirna vidyate.
Tasya hyadirna vidyate.
So here you have to add the word anadehe phalat hetuhu na jayate. From the beginningless karma, anadehe phalat means from the beginningless, uncaused body, beginningless body, karma is not born. Punya papam, punyam or papam does not originate from a beginningless body. Similarly, anadehe hetoho phalam na jayate. From the beginningless karma, in the form of punyam or papam, body is not born. Body does not originate having the beginningless punya papam as its cause. No. Okay, then can we say hetu and palam, this karma and body originate just by itself, swabhavataha, naturally, without, swabhavataha means what? Without any cause. Causelessly, they suddenly, they just appear. Can you say that? There's no beginningless karma, first of all. The beginningless karma, the body comes into existence, you cannot say. There is no beginningless karma. The beginningless karma, body does not come into existence. From beginningless body, karma does not originate. And karma and body, swabhavataha, without any cause also, uncauselessly they originate, you cannot say. See, three more options. Therefore, what is the final thing now? There is no cause. There is no such a thing called absolute, beginningless, uncaused, causeless cause at all. Therefore, there is no such a thing called absolute creation. The creation is only, the so-called universe is only appearance, manifestation of the beginningless, endless, changeless reality. And he says now, Adihi na vidyate yasya, tasya hi adihi na vidyate. The word adihi, the two twice used. The first adihi means cause. Second adihi means effect. I mean, we can say utpattihi, jatihi, origination. So, yasya adihi na vidyate, that which has no beginning, okay, has no origination. Understand now? That which has no beginning has no origination means what? Does not originate. That which has no beginning does not originate. What it means is, if there is something called cause, and definitely the cause is what? Cause is something which subject to undergo change. When does a cause get the status of being the cause? Only if there is a product. Only something has originated from it, it can be called a cause. You call gold a cause because the chain has originated from the gold. And for which the cause has to undergo change. If it undergoes a change, means what? Isn't it? Therefore, here it is a, undergoes a change to become a, an effect. Therefore, any cause, anything undergoes a change, becomes what? An effect also. It must have originated from something else. So that which does not have a beginning, yasya adihi na vidyate, that which does not have a beginning, that which is beginningless, that which is causeless, which is uncaused, has no beginning, understand, does not originate. The beginningless is what? Does not originate. There is no creation of something from something which does not have a beginning. We talk about, what about Brahman? Reality, we say, reality is that which has no beginning. Anadihi. Beginningless means what? Beginningless means it is uncaused. If something has a cause, you can talk about the beginning of that, isn't it? Causeless means, beginningless means causeless. But when you talk about something eternal, eternal means beginningless, timeless, beginningless. Eternal means timeless, timeless means beginningless, beginningless means causeless. Therefore, causelessness implies what? Endlessness. Therefore, changeless also. That which is beginningless is also not changeless. A beginningless is endless, therefore changeless. A changeless thing cannot be the cause. Understand now? A changeless thing cannot be the cause. Anything which is a cause enjoys the status of being the cause, has to undergo a change to become the effect. If we say Brahman is the cause, then Brahman must undergo change. Isn't it? You can't say eternal Brahman and still undergoes a effect, undergoes a change to become the effect. So knowingly or unknowingly, the whole world, all the cultures, even though they have their own concept of whatever concept of Ishvara, whatever, they all believe in God, the Lord, the Creator, and all of them unanimously say one thing, the God, a Lord is eternal. Don't they say that? Which culture, which religion do they say God is non-eternal? Tell me. Unanimously, universally, they all accept this fact, God is eternal. Lord is eternal. Eternal means what? What does the word eternal or eternity mean? Eternal means timeless. Timeless means beginningless. Beginningless also must mean what? Changeless. Begins means the change has come. How can you say God is eternal and the universe, isn't it, has come from the God? Very contradiction. There is a contradiction. So what it says is, yasya adihi na vidyate, tasya adihi na vidyate. That which does not have beginning cannot have origination. Understand now? Doesn't have jatihi, utpattihi. No production. Therefore, what is the final teaching now? Through all these 15 options, well-analyzed options, we arrive at the conclusion that cause cannot be absolute cause cannot be established at all. Therefore, we cannot talk about the effect. If the cause and effect cannot be established, then we cannot talk about the creation. Therefore, all these discussions, you know, pointing out the fallacies in the systems of philosophy only contribute for the establishment of the non-creation. This is Ajati Vadaha alone is really made more and more clearer and popular. All right? Therefore, with this, the Astika Darshana refutation is over. The Astika Darshanani, negation of, refutation of systems of philosophy, accepting Vedas secondary means of knowledge, is over. Now begins Nastika Darshana refutation. The view of, refutation of the view of Nastika Darshanani. And as I told you already, there are six Nastika Darshanani. Of them, the first place is given to Charvakaha, the materialist. You know what he says? Yavat jivet sukham jivet. Ghritam, runam krutva ghritam pibet. Come on, where is punyam, where is papam, where is Bhagavan, where is law, who is going to punish you? Come on, live happily as long as you live. No, live your life, enjoy your life drinking ghee. No, take debts from the banks, whether you will repay or not, doesn't matter. Take as much loans as possible, enjoy your life. Don't worry about paying back. You can just say bye to, say the bank, no money, you go back. You know, typical. The rinam, those days, no, rinam krutva ghritam. Ghritam, ghee is very expensive. So you don't have money means you can't buy ghee. But he, don't worry, go and, why should you live your life without enjoying ghee? Go get loan, get debts. No, rinam krutva. Katan vangyada nei kut, nei upot nalla saapanu. So enjoy your life, isn't it? Rinam krutva ghritam pibet. That is how Charvaka says. Materialist. And he is Nastika number one. So Gaudapada Acharya thinks it is not worth negating, refuting. Now you go to real thinker, of who is the best thinker of all the best of the thinkers, or the Nastikas, refute him, it's enough. I told you already about the Prathama Mallanyayaha, and Pujya Swamiji says, knocks off the champion boxer, and all other boxers become knocked off as well. Therefore, here also, therefore he, no, Charvaka. Then comes the Jaina Matam. Charvaka Matam, Jaina Matam. And I said, Rishabha Devaha is the propounder of the Jaina Matam, who is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But this Mahaviraha, Vardhamana Mahaviraha, actually, is only a reviver of the Jaina Matam. And is called actually Jinaha. Jinaha is called the Jitaha, Jitavan. Jitavan means one who has mastery over his senses. Jinaha means the one who has mastery over his senses, means one who is a Swami. One who has mastery over his senses means one who is victorious, one who has conquered his mind and senses. Conqueror of one's own mind and senses. In our language, we call him a Jnani. They call Jinaha. And those who follow the Jinaha are called Jainaha. Jainaha. Mahavira Jinaha. And those who followed the Jinaha or Jainaha. So Jaina Matam. Anything pertaining to Jinaha is called Jaina. There are also people who do not accept Veda. As they also come under the Nastika Matam only. So Charvaka Matam, Jaina Matam. And third, next third, fourth, fifth, sixth You know, we have so totally six systems of philosophy coming under the Nastika Darshanani. Actually, the rest of the four are all Bouddhas. You know, each branch of Buddhism is looked upon as one system of philosophy. Each branch of Buddhism has the status of being a given system of philosophy. And this Bauddha Matam, propounded by this Buddha, Siddhartha, Buddha, Gautama Buddha, has two wings, as Hinayana Bauddha Matam and Mahayana Bauddha Matam. Two wings. Of the two wings, each wing has two branches. Sautrantika Bauddhamatam, Vaibhashika Bauddhamatam. So, Sautrantikaha, Vaibhashikaha, two branches of Hinayana Buddhism, Hinayana Bauddhamatam. Then Yogachara Bauddha, Yogachara Matam, Ayogachara Bauddha, Madhyamika Bauddha, these two branches come under Mahayana Buddhism. So Sautrantika Bauddhamatam, Vaibhashika Bauddhamatam, Yogachara Bauddhamatam, Madhyamika Bauddhamatam. Four branches of Buddhism coming under two wings as Hinayana and Mahayana Bauddhamatam. And here, the Yogachara Bauddha, Yogachara Bauddhamatam, is very, very close to Advaita Vedanta Shastram, Vedantam. Very close means what? It is not. In the whole world, actually, so many people who mistake the Yogachara Buddhism for Advaitam. There are many people, because of the closeness, they mistake Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada for a pseudo-Buddhist. They fail to see the subtle difference. In fact, one big difference, but only difference. Therefore, the Yogachara Bauddha himself refutes Sautrantikaha and Vaibhashikaha. So, Gaudapada Acharya or Shankara Bhagavatpada Acharya need not work hard to negate the Sautrantika or Vaibhashikaha. So, when Yogachara Bauddha refutes his own fellow Bauddhas in the name of Sautrantika and Vaibhashika, Gaudapada Acharya has alliance. I mean, what joins the Yogachara Bauddha to refute those two. After refuting them two, then he'll come out of Yogachara Bauddha and show, definitely he'll show him where Yogachara Bauddha goes wrong. The last one, the Madhyamika Bauddha, is called Shunyavadi or Shunyavadinaha, who say there is nothing. Nothing is here absolutely. Neither the experiencer absolute nor the experienced world. Nothing is there. When he says nothing is there, he denies his own existence. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya takes it easy here when you deny your own existence, you are non-existent. When you are non-existent, then how can your philosophy be existent? நான் இல்லை என்னுடைய தத்துவம் இருக்கிறதுனா. How can your philosophy exist if you are non-existent? If your philosophy is as good as non-existent when you are non-existent, so then it is not, we need not make any effort to refute the non-existent philosophy. Therefore, he just leaves the Shunyavadi. Understand? He only negates Yogacara Bauddha. But we need to know how Yogacara Bauddha negates Gaudapadacharya as though he joins him. He presents how Yogacara Bauddha refutes the Hinayana Bauddha Matam, which means he refutes those two, first two, Sautrantika and Vaibhashikaha. Okay, before going there, we have to understand. See, what the Sautrantika Bauddha Matam, what is the view of his Sautrantikaha? For the Sautrantikaha, there is an experiencer and there is an experienced world, the objective universe, external to the experiencer and which has its own independent existence. And this external world of objects, which is independent of the experiencer, is separate from the experiencer. Experienced world of objects is separate from the experiencer. And he says, this world of objects is proved by the experience, the cognition which rises in the mind. What is the proof for the external world being there? He says, there are so many cognitions. We have multifarious experiences. And each experience is a cognition. There are so many cognitions rise in our mind in the form of thoughts. And those cognitions are the proof for the corresponding objects existing in the external world. If there is no object, there won't be cognition. There is a mic outside, therefore there is a cognition of the mic. So cognition rising in the mind in the form of a thought is the proof for the object existing outside of a mic. And how does this cognition arise? Through perception. Therefore, external world, so the plurality of the external objects, existence of the plurality of the external objects constituting the external world is proved by through perception, proved by the cognitions rising in the mind through perception. And this experienced universe is different from, separate from the experiencer. Therefore, pratyaksham means perception. So perception proves the existence of the external world, which contributes for the rising of cognitions in the mind. Therefore, this Sautrantika Bauddha is called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. Bahyam means external. So external implies what? The world. Artha means the object. Bahyartha, the external object. What external? The external objective universe, which is separate from the experiencer, arrived at through the experience born of perception. So pratyaksha, bahyartha pratyaksha vadi, bahyartha pratyaksha vadi, bahyartha pratyaksha vadinaha, plural. So bahyartha pratyaksha vadinaha means those philosophers called Sautrantika Bauddhas who hold on to the view of the universe, external universe being separate from the experiencer and whose existence is proved by experience born of perception. Is it clear? Okay. Now we go to the next first person. Who is the next one? Therefore, there is real universe which has its own independent existence. The next one, Vaibhashikaha. According to Vaibhashikaha also, there is external world of objects which is separate from the experiencer. Very close, they are very, very close. That is why both branches come under one wing called Hinayana Bauddhamatam. But he says, Vaibhashikaha says, not only we have cognitions, experiences, you know, born of perception of the external world of objects, we also have experiences born of inference. Isn't it? Inference also he adds. The existence of the external world proved by my experiences I have, not only through perception but also through inference. Okay, there are beautiful green trees, objects, and I perceive them. There are cognitions of the trees around, I have through perception, but perception proves the existence of the objects. The perception of those objects also contribute for what? Pleasure, joy, emotions. I feel pleased when I perceive those objects. That joy, seeing my face, and I say that, you infer the joy experience in my mind seeing the beautiful plant full of roses. Isn't it? We all had, you know, some sweet here sometime back. You know, just changing, then all of us, there's also what the emotions. There are joy, pain, pleasure, heart, we say. Again, the emotions also, emotions which arise as a result of experience of certain objects. Therefore, he says, according to Vaibhashikaha, not only the existence of external world is provable through the experiences we have through perception, but also through inference. Therefore, he is called Bahya Artha Anumana Vadi. Bahyartha Anumana Vadinaha. So Bahyartha Pratyaksha Vadinaha. Then we have Bahyartha Anumana Vadinaha. You see the bright sun outside, you infer it must be hot outside. You infer the heat, even though you are not exposed to the heat, You infer the heat just by perceiving the sun outside, bright sun outside. But he says, there is external world which is separate from the experiencer and whose existence is proved by the experience we have not only through perception but by also through inference. So, Bahya Artha Anumana Vadi is, who is that person? Vaibhashikaha, Vaibhashika Bauddhaha. Now the third person, we will go to the text next class, but I'll let me tell you the what is the third one says. And then we'll go do the text next class. This Yogachara Bauddhaha is very close to Advaitin, I said already. He says, no, there is an experiencer, which all of them accept. And because there are experiences, no doubt, there is an the experiences are corresponding, no, in accordance with the external objects, no doubt. But this experienced external world is non-separate from the experiencer. The experiencer is consciousness. The experiencer is consciousness. The external world, the experienced objective universe, is non-separate from the experiencer consciousness. He sounds very close. Not very close. He says. External world of objects is non-separate from the experiencer consciousness. Not outside of the experiencer consciousness. Therefore, experiencer consciousness is satyam. Experienced objective universe is mithya. He says, Yogacara says this much. What is the difference between Yogacara Bauddhaha and Advaiti? Only big difference is, according to Yogacara Bauddhaha, the experiencer is consciousness, fine. But the experiencer consciousness, experiencer is a constant flow of arriving, departing, fleeting, momentary consciousness. What is the consciousness for him? The experiencer is constant flow of, constant, continuous flow of fleeting, momentary consciousness. Which means the consciousness comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and quickly comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. There is no understand. And he gives the example how to understand. What do we mean by saying, you know, arriving, departing, constantly, continuously, the constant flow of arriving, departing, fleeting, momentary consciousness. Momentary. Every moment consciousness comes and goes. But there is a constant flow. Therefore, we think there is consciousness continuously. Like what? He gives the example. Yatha Gangayam Jalapravahaha. In river Ganga, the water is flowing. But when you stand on the bank of Ganga, or any river, even the Thames for example, any river, you stand and see, you think there is water. Do you think where you are watching, the same water exists? No. The water keeps flowing. There's a continuous existence of water, but that water is not the same water. It's a constant flow, continuous flow of water, which means the old water goes, new water comes, old water goes, new water. There's a momentary fleeting water. Every fraction of second, there is water keeps moving. But when when you see as though there is water continuously, there is continuously water, but that water is not the same water. The old water goes, new water comes. Like that, that's a flow of consciousness, constantly arriving and departing, fleeting. Therefore, how long does the consciousness remain in each that place? Only for a moment. That's why momentary. Kshanikam. Therefore, he is called Vijnanam, means consciousness. Kshanika Vijnanavadi. Is called Kshanika Vijnanavadi. But for him, the external world is non-separate from the experiencer consciousness. Therefore, there is no external world outside of the experiencer, other than the experiencer. Therefore, he says what now? Bahyartha Abhavavadi. Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. Bahyartha Anumanavadi. No, Bahyartha Abhavavadi. There is no such thing called external world. He does not accept the externality of the world. There is no world other than the experiencer, outside of the experiencer. Bahyartham, there is no experienced world separate from the experiencer. Bahyartha Abhavavadi. Understand? So, Bahyartha Abhavadi, he is also, we can say, very close. Advaiti also says, there's no external world outside of experiencer consciousness. But the problem is, he is a Kshanika Vijnanavadi. Understand? Why? Because, what Advaiti, let me not keep it secret. Advaiti is a Nitya Vijnanavadi. There is no flow, constant, continuous, fleeting, momentary consciousness is not there. Consciousness does not come and go, does not arrive and depart, does not fleet. Consciousness is eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, non-arriving, non-departing, non-fleeting, ever remaining. Only reality is what? Consciousness. Akant Advaiti, Nitya Vijnanam. Vijnanam, consciousness. Nityam, eternal. For him, momentary fleeting consciousness is experiencer, is the momentary fleeting consciousness. For an Advaitin, experiencer is eternal consciousness. This is the difference. Nitya Vijnanam. Avarukku Kshanika Vijnanam. Kshanikam na? Okay. Then here we have to make it very clear. This I told you many times, even in my other classes. Which class? When I was doing Manisha Panchakam also, I made it very clear one thing. The consciousness manifest is recognizable. Consciousness pure is non-recognizable. Non-recognizable is mistaken for non-existent. Can be mistaken for non-existent. The recognizable consciousness is what? What is recognizable? The manifest consciousness is recognizable. Therefore, manifesting medium is mistaken for the manifest consciousness. Thoughts come, thoughts go. Thoughts come, thought. Every time thought comes, there is manifestation of consciousness. Thought goes, still consciousness. Non-recognizable. Thought comes, consciousness. Manifest. Thought goes, pure. Thought comes, manifest. Thoughts go, pure. Thoughts come, manifest. Thoughts go, pure. So the thoughts, see, so many thoughts, there's a constant, continuous thought flow. And thoughts are very subtle. How many cognitions you have, you can count, you know, really speaking, you can't count really speaking. So many thoughts. There's a constant, continuous flow of thoughts. And each thought is what? Manifesting medium. Therefore, there seems to be a constant flow of manifest consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, for him, he mistakes the manifesting media, the continuously flowing thoughts. The flow of thoughts is mistaken for the flow of consciousness. Have to distinguish the consciousness from the thoughts. Physically, you cannot do that. If this mic is here, light in whose presence, the mic in whose presence, because of whose presence alone this mic shines, is the light, but gets qualified as reflected light. The mic is taken away, still light continues to exist. Light is what? Pure light. There is no such a thing called pure light or reflected light. Just the light. In the presence of opaque thing, light gets the qualification as reflected light. In the absence of opaque, light is known as pure light. That's just the light. There's no pure, impure, reflected light. Similarly, in the presence of thoughts, manifest consciousness. Thoughts resolve pure consciousness. But pure light, you never draw your attention. So he has also really thought very well. And he came up to this point. There is experiencer. Experiencer is nothing but consciousness. There is no experienced world outside of consciousness. The world is. He says that. But he mistakes this, you know, the arriving, departing, constant, fleeting of thoughts for constant, constantly fleeting, momentary consciousness. Mistakes the thoughts for consciousness. And how Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to show that? Now that Gaudapacharya shows in his Karikas, we'll see that. Only one quarter line he says to negate Gaudapacharya. Only one quarter line. One quarter of the one Karika. Okay? Therefore, that now we'll see next class. This is the difference. Then, yes, it's only preparation for understanding the Karikas and the verse. Next week we'll see the verb. I'm going to repeat what is said today, but with the verses. Now I said without the verses. With the verses, with the Karikas, we'll see the same thing what is said today, next class. And the last one I told you already. So he negates the, so Shankar Gaudapacharya negates the Yogacara Buddha. And he also, we are going to see how Yoga, he joined Yogacara Buddha in refuting Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. In the last one, he does not refute. Why? Shunyavadi. And for him, no external world, no experiencer, therefore Sarvartha Abhavavadi. So, Bahyartha Pratyakshavadinaha, Bahyartha Anumanavadinaha, Bahyartha Abhavavadinaha, now Sarvartha Abhavavadinaha. There is no, nothing is here. How do you say now? Sarvartha Abhavavadi. This Madhyamika Bauddha is called Sarvartha Abhavavadi. And he is also called Shunyavadi. Whereas Yogacara Buddha is not Sarvartha Bhavavadi, he is Bahyartha Bhavavadi. Fine, he is about Kshanika Vijnanavadi. Madhyamika is called Sarvartha Bhavavadi, Unnume Illa, he is Shunyavadi. Extra, we have two more names for this. So, Mahayana Buddhas, known as Bahyartha Abhavavadinaha, Sarvartha Abhavavadinaha, and what now? Kshanika Vijnanavadi, Shunyavadi. Shunyam, zero, nothing is here. What about you? Who is that who says nothing is here? When you come into the room, first somebody who comes here. No, Lakshmi Ma is upstairs. Oh my God, I have come to here. Nobody is here. For to say nobody is here, nothing is here, you must be there. How can you deny your own existence? You have to say, I alone am here. If you say, you are very sensible. When nobody is here, nothing is here means, you in that sentence, you are denying your own presence. When you are absent, when you are non-existent, and how can you say hold on to something saying it's my philosophy? Therefore, your philosophy also is as good as you. Therefore, it does not require any refutation. Illa the poi, why should we refute? He leaves it there. Understand? Okay, we'll see the next class. We'll see the Karikas next class. We have that. Once you finish the refutation of Yogacara Buddha, refutation of Yogacara Buddha is the, in fact, end of negation of the Nastika Darshanani. Thereafter begins the essence of it again. He's going to present the Vedantic teaching. You know why? Thinking of what Sankhya philosopher says, what Nayayika says, what Yogacara Buddha says, what Madhyamika says, what Sautrantika says, seeing what others say, finally we may forget what we have been studying. Therefore, he does not want us to forget our actual vision, teaching. He is going to present the Vedanta teaching again. Okay? The following verses. You see that. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om.